Do we know who the 49ers are?
Oh, I know this. I know that A++++ on the touchdown call when he finally got it out.
Oh, I know. It's so great to hear it. All guests are coming to you via the Fire Wings hotline. Try one of their delicious flavors of wings today. Fire Wings, just wing it. It is the weekly visit with the voice of the San Francisco 49ers, Greg Papa. Greg, how are you?
Come on, now give it to me honestly. I thought about this long and hard for a long time, and I thought I would have some pushback. Not one person has looked me in the eyes, and I can't see you guys, but I can hear you. Nothing about the call. I mean, you know, they don't play in San Francisco. They play in Santa Clara. Anything here?
Okay.
You guys are on board with us?
Listen, we go way back. I'll tell you right now, there's only one possible pushback on that, and I talked about it the day after because I read a little bit about it. And when I say a little bit, I mean like three things on Twitter. First off, I love the thought that you put into it. You didn't want to copy previous calls by legendary broadcasters, number one. Number two, there was like 17 touchdowns called back, and I love how you said on the broadcast that they're killing you here because you finally wanted to unveil it. You didn't do it in the preseason. I think it's a perfect call. Here's the thing. The only pushback was, well, is it the cadence? Is it the same cadence as the famous touchdown Kansas City? And I don't think so. I think what it is that you have similar syllables, and that's why a couple people matched that up. But you made that very – I really have spent a lot of time on this, Greg. You made that – very much a 49er call with your own cadence. I think it was I think you picked the perfect call.
All right. I'm not on Twitter. I mean, I follow people on Twitter, but I'm not on Twitter. So I don't really, I don't know what the reaction was.
It was awesome.
As far as I didn't want to pay tribute to previous broadcasters, that's not accurate at all.
Oh, no, I meant, no, I thought it was what had been written. I just want to make sure I didn't.
For whatever it's worth, we're making too much out of this.
Sure.
I'm not supposed to. Richie James Jr., Richard Sherman, and the Keller Witherspoon of the story. But for the entirety of the offseason, my thought was, and I went back and I watched, you know, a lot of 49er games, and I've seen them all live, obviously, but I wanted that. You know, I go back to when they played the Cowboys three straight years in the playoffs and the heartbreaking loss in 72 when they were ahead. But anyway, I went back and the 49ers sent me radio calls. So I listened to a lot. And when I first moved here, Don Klein was the voice of the 49ers, and then Lon, obviously, and his great Steve Young run call, and Joe and Ted. I listened to all of them. Even Bob Fouts. I went back and listened to a little Bob Fouts. So anyway, my intent for the entire offseason was to pay tribute to Don Klein. And the touchdown Raiders call was my tribute to Bill King for how much I loved and respected and admired, and he was a mentor of mine. So the thought was, and if you listen to Don's inflection on the touchdown 49ers, especially on the catch, it was touchdown 49ers! And that was what I was thinking. But then when I actually played with it in preseason to myself in the shower driving, it was hard to execute, and I'm a windbag as much as anybody, but I ran out of wind. Because Don didn't elongate the touchdown part. You know, I do. It's touchdown, and then how do I go back up to 49ers? So I'm already inflecting up on the touchdown. The Raiders, the hard R in Raiders, you know, gave me a nice, you know, off the touchdown. So I didn't know what I was going to do. It was going to be some 49ers, but I didn't know. And then week three of the preseason, we're going to Arrowhead to play, and I'm listening to and we're very good friends. Mitch Holthus and I are great friends. You know, he's the voice of the Chiefs forever after Kevin Harlan, and I'm the voice of the Raiders for a long time, and, you know, the Hatfields and the McCoys, but we have great respect for each other. We've had long discussions about styles, and I think he's probably the most similar to me to anybody in the league. And I remember having him on my radio show and, breaking down his call and, you know, why is the city called Kansas City and not Kansas City? So just a lot of things that I gave thought to with this. But it just dawned on me the way he called, touchdown Kansas City. Yeah. And it was the three, you know, like San Francisco.
Yep.
And then Gene Dekaroff in Tampa Bay, he doesn't say touchdown Bucks or Buccaneers, it's touchdown Tampa Bay. So I just gave it a little bit of thought there, And for several reasons, and I thought about it for a long time, and I reached out to Al Guido, the 49ers president, and he reached out to Jed York for me and Bob Sargent, and they all loved it. They all loved it. And then I thought more and more about it, and I've never referred to the team I'm broadcasting for by the city. It's always been the nickname. It's always the Warriors. You know, I don't like Golden State. I never did, so I hardly ever said that. The Raiders were, you know, Al was obviously never content in one city. They were Oakland, Los Angeles, back to Oakland. So I always referred to them as the Raiders. And I didn't call the A's the, you know, I tried to avoid A's. I called them Athletics because that's not their name. Their name is Athletics. But I hardly ever referred to them as Oakland. But anyway, so then, you know, being around the team and training camp so much and driving to Santa Clara, I think it's important to remember they are the San Francisco 49ers. I don't care that they don't play in San Francisco. The Dallas Cowboys don't play in Dallas. The Buffalo Bills don't play in Buffalo. Neither the New York Giants or the New York Jets. They don't play in the city of New York. They don't play in the state of New York. I could give you 10 examples in professional sports where the team that has that name doesn't play in that city. So it became more apparent to me that that was not an issue in my mind, but I thought to some, because, you know, there's the old school San Francisco, old money, Silicon Valley, new money. There's that whole battle going on there. But I think we need to realize that the logo on the helmet says SF. They are the San Francisco 49ers. So for several reasons, it just began to make more sense. I could execute it better than inflecting up on 49ers. It's just an easier call to make, and I can play with it more and more depending on the importance of the touchdown call. And then lastly, I lost my dad. My dad died July the 30th. He died at 93. Huge football fan, and he would have been so proud to me to go into the 49ers. You know, I eulogized him on the Monday before my first preseason game. And my dad's name is Frank, which is Francis, which is the name of the city. You know, Sir Francis of Assisi. So just for a lot of reasons, it made sense. So I'm sure not everybody loves it. That's not nobody. Not everybody loves anything in the world. But and you know, I'm going to have to get better at it as I go. But that was the decision I made, and I had the backing of the team and, you know, how they feel about it, because this whole Santa Clara versus San Francisco thing is out there. So that's the decision I made for a lot of reasons.
Wow. I mean, it's fascinating the amount of depth and thought process behind this. And then, as Dave mentioned, Greg, the fact that you really couldn't pull the trigger because touchdown, penalty, both sides. That was as bizarre of a circumstance until you could really, truly unleash it.
Yeah, and I actually thought about that the night before the game, because it's too much has been made of this. You know, I never had a call, a signature call in basketball. I never had a home run call in baseball. When Matt Stairs would, remember one night when they had the Yahoo signs in the gaps in Oakland, he put one over the wall and I let out a Yahoo. Beyond that, I never had one. And I didn't have the touchdown Raiders early. I always said touchdown Raiders for a tribute to Bill. But it became, you know, more the long gate of the touchdown, and it came the call later. And that I was comfortable. And the reason, you know, people ask, why don't you have a home run call? Because not all home runs are hit the same way. They're all different.
Right.
So when you actually, you know, call the home run in the air, it has to be different. But a touchdown, it's the exclamation point. I call the play different every time. And when the player crosses the goal line with the ball, then it's the exclamation point. So that's why it came about. So I think, you know, just too much came of it. And as far as – so everybody was talking about the call. We played with it in the last game of the preseason where, you know, I bellowed out touchdown and Tim Ryan jumped in with the foghorn sound, which he nailed. So we just had fun with it. But there was just too much buildup to it. It's like, you know, tell that great story, you know, and then you got to execute the story and no one laughs. So you're like, it has to be spontaneous. I've never given that much thought to anything, you know, including when the Raiders won the AFC championship to go back to the Super Bowl I didn't give the call that much thought. It just happens. I'm not like that. I don't think it out. That's the beauty of live sports. It just happens. But with this call, because so much was made of it, everywhere I go, I went, everybody asked me about it. So I'm like, I don't know. But the night before the game, I had thought out that there's just so many flags in football. The whole, in particular, holding in the preseason was up 71% of the time. You know, the PI call, you know, what if you get a push off and it's a – and we had a PI call right away when Kittle's touchdown was overturned by, I thought, a bad call on the inline block by Juszczyk. But anyway, I thought it out. I didn't want to get the call up before it was actually a touchdown. The concern there is you don't know exactly what the flag is for. I had a very good idea on all three of them that they would call, be called back. But the worry would have been to have me not execute the call and have it actually be a touchdown. But I thought it outweighed it that I didn't want to use the call and then have it be called back by penalty. That would have kind of ruined it. So, yeah, I had three of those in the first half, and luckily I was able to see them all before and get them all correct.
Voice of the 49ers, Greg Papa, joining us. You're humble about it, but that just goes to show the respect and love people have for you, I think, as a broadcaster. And speaking of all of that, I don't know if surprised is the right word, Greg, but what impressed you most about this team? What question was answered the most for you coming out of that game one?
Well, I think we spoke about this before the game. I mean, the identity of the 2019 49ers, and I think for many, many years, because they're all young, is this defensive line. And when you think of the great defenses in the history of pro football, it all starts with their front, whether it's the Purple People Eaters or the Steel Curtain or the Fearsome Foursome or Doomsday, whatever you want to say. 46 defense in Chicago was the front. And they had many guys, not just four. But anyway, this front is as good as I've seen, and I could see it. Now, we didn't see it in the offseason because Bosa tweaked his hamstring, and then he rolled an ankle, and D Ford had the PRP and didn't practice after July the 30th. But, you know, right after Ford came back and they cleared Nick to practice a couple of days before the first game, the Wednesday and Thursday of practice, I was there for both. I could see it. I just thought, wow. And I think I told you guys last week, when they have Ford on one end and Bosa on the other, and those tall trees from Oregon inside, DeForest Buckner and Eric Armstead, wow, holy hell, that is a group. And they move them around. It's, you know, Ford lined up in a two-point stance, one snap over a guard. Bosa moved inside on the last pick six by Akella Witherspoon. He was inside. They can move Buckner and Armstead outside. And it's not just those guys. You got Solomon Thomas and Jones and Day and Blair and Taylor, and they're just coming at you. I mean, my first recollection of the 49ers really was in the early 70s, and my favorite player was Cedric Hardman, number 86. I loved him. And they had that gold rush, pass rush back then. And this is a modern-day version of it. But I'm not surprised by that. I expected it. I think it'll get better and better. And hopefully Bosa will be able to play through this ankle injury. But the biggest surprise probably was Akella Witherspoon. That opposite corner to Sherman. And I thought, you know, we haven't seen Verrett yet.
Right.
And I know how good Jason Verrett is. I watched him at the Chargers. When he's healthy, he's a Pro Bowl player. And I thought Verrett would push Witherspoon for the job. And the one thing from the Kansas City game, and Tyreek Hill is just so incredibly difficult to cover, not just his straight line speed, but his change of direction speed. And Witherspoon had a hard time. But so did Sherman that night. He got turned around. But I didn't know. You don't know. But Witherspoon played. He was good in 17. He had his moments. Last year he got benched a couple of times. Just off the top of my head, I'd have to go back and watch them all in 17. I think that's the best game I've ever seen him play. And Mike Evans, who had the flu, I don't care. You're out there playing. You got to go. And he that one ball down the sideline, he was right in his hip the whole way. Yeah. The in-cut, you know, when you cover that in-cut in the NFL, those are hard routes to cover. And he was right on him, stride for stride. So, I mean, it's the pass rush and the back end is what it's all married together. And maybe he's more confident because he has, you know, those guys up front heating up quarterbacks. But the pass rush and Witherspoon's play on opening day, not a surprise, I thought, from the pass rush. But, boy, if Witherspoon plays like that opposite Sherman, they could have a really good defense this year.
And that defense got even tested early in the game, Greg, when Alexander was kicked out for that hit. Tough call. Do you think they got that one right? I know they're about safety, but did they get that one right?
I think it should have been flagged for 15 yards. There's no doubt he lowered his helmet. We had Mike Pereira on my radio show the next day, and we talked at length about it. I just don't like kicking guys out of games. I think if you're 15 yards and you fine them, and they believe me, when they get that FedEx Express delivery on Tuesday, and those are big fines, they're going to stop. That's enough. But this is not college. You don't have 100 guys and, you know, six inside, linebackers, six will linebackers. You've got one. And, you know, Dre Greenlaw had to come in and play a lot more, and Azacha had to come in and play more. You just can't throw guys out of games. And I asked Mike, I said, I'm unaware. I know the helmet rule last year, but have we essentially brought the college targeting rule into the NFL? And he said, yeah, in some regards, especially when it deals with a quarterback. So he should have been flagged. He should have been fined. But do you kick him out on the next to last play of the first quarter? Especially on opening day when, you know, these guys haven't played a lot of snaps, your backups. I think that's something they have to look at. But let's face it, the NFL is going to err on the side of caution when it comes to anything like this because the players sued them for $4 billion, and they fundamentally changed the way that the game is played. So he should have been obviously flagged and fined. But to kick him out of the game, but that's where we're going now, and you got to realize that's what they're going to do.
That's the voice of the San Francisco 49ers, Greg Papa. He joins us each and every Thursday at 8:05. Greg, I thought you nailed it. And as a lifelong 49er fan, knowing the thought you put into it, knowing especially the part about your dad, that got me. I for what it's worth, and it's worth about a penny, if that, I thought you absolutely nailed it. Thanks for the time, as always, and we'll talk to you.
No, you know how much I think of you. I thought of you a lot, and, you know, people that have been covering this team or watching this team forever and ever, how would they react? And, you know, there's certain people. I respect everybody's opinion, obviously, but I greatly respect yours. So to have your backing of it, it'll be easier to do it now going forward, knowing you're on board with it. So it means a lot to me. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg.
Thanks, Greg.
Hopefully a lot more of those in Cincinnati.